It's day three here in White Horse after the earthquake. We've not suffered much structural damage, but we're completely cut off from the satellites, which means we don't know what's happening in the rest of the world yet. All our phones, PDA, TV, radio, everything was tied to having a tower, and that red tower on Gray Mountain landed at the base of the mountain, taking with it one empty apartment and the walls of three others. Said Danica Hobus, the landlord of Hobus Apartments, thank goodness they weren't occupied and no one got hurt. Crews have gotten the tower separated and are going to drive the pieces back up to the top, but it looks like much of the tower is damaged. There's no estimate on how long it will be till we're in communication with the outside world. Some of our local relay towers, though, are working, which is why you should be able to hear this broadcast on CBC North. And right now, crews are making those a priority. Please stay tuned to CBC for further updates. This is Michael Rassad reporting for CBC. We have some updates. The following information has been confirmed from residents of Caribou on the northern slope. There were three epicenters: Anchorage, Pemberton, BC, and Tacoma, Washington. Damage is quite severe. There's news that the 20-year-old seawalls protecting much of Vancouver have broken and Vancouver is flooded. In some places, 6 feet of water. The fault line that extends from Seattle, Vancouver, all the way to Haines Junction, registered 8.5. The aftershocks, all three of them stay between 6.4 and 6.7. Please stay in your homes, around a radio, or come to our shelters located here in Shipyards Park and in Headstrom Soccer Field. CBC has set up a temporary broadcast station from Shipyards. If you have questions, please come down. This is Michael Rassad reporting for CBC North. More updates. Hello, Yukon. Most of you can now hear the sound of my voice. The crews working on the comm towers have done a great job. Yay! We are not connected to the outside world yet, except through reports from Caribou and the ships passing through the passage. We apologize for that lateness of information, but we're getting information as we can. Updates here first. The Canada Games Center did not receive any damage, and we're relocating emergency shelters for anyone whose homes have been damaged by the quake. There are beds there and food. If your home was damaged, do not stay in your home. A woman came by here a few moments ago. She said she was staying in her home, but she found a crack down the side. Now, when she touched it, her wall started to cave in. She lives on Alsac. So she's joined us here at Shipyards Park, where we have the fair tent set up. She said for me to tell you, she said, don't stay in your homes. She said she was one who fought coming down here, but we have sign-up tables for inspections if you know you have damage. So that's for people with visible damage. Okay, I got updates about Alaska. They aren't good. White Horse is sending over rescue groups over the Chilkoot Trail into Alaska starting tomorrow morning. If you have a Hoverdo or even a pair of Striders, you're asked to bring them. We're sending medicine and supplies over to Anchorage and the surrounding area. A few brave pilots have agreed to fly without tower assistance, and we've gotten the first reports back from Alaska from them. First off, there are no clear runways to land in Anchorage, so you have to land in Palmer. There's one airstrip open, that's Palmer. That's for pilots who want to help. We're also loading an Air North bullet flight full of supplies. We'll be flying that in tomorrow. Alaska's going to need our help. I want to express my thanks for the people down here at the shelter who have volunteered to go on these trips. You said you didn't want to wait around doing nothing, and that's some really good Yukon spirit. I also want to shout out to the great folks at New Delhi Deli for the sandwiches, Jakartan Refrigeration for the coolers and freezers, and Mr. Lou's Discount Furniture for the beds, and finally, Stars and Sun, who have set up fresh coffee out here at Shipyards under the stars and sun.
For 2 weeks, we broadcast like that. 2 weeks before we got any connection to anyone else. Everyone could see the faint glimmer of the communication satellite Braid as it passed overhead, but they looked like floating debris from here. They weren't doing us any good. What was doing us good was hearing each other. I was busy all day long talking to people and interviewing people. We just wanted to hear a voice on the radio, some voice. And I heard that voice coming out of some very old handheld radios. Klondike Antiques donated all the radios and walkie-talkies they had. People couldn't call us because no one had landlines, but they came down and told us to keep talking. The human voice in times of uncertainty is one of the most powerful things, and several voices create a community. I don't think I have ever felt closer to the people of the Yukon than when we were all listening to the same thing. We were all listening to each other. You know, I didn't care if anyone heard my voice outside the Yukon, because people needed it here. My dad used to say there was a purpose for every lighthouse. They steered someone away from danger to safety. It was his way of saying every person has a purpose for where they are. As for me, I'm here.
I'm here. Yep, we have new updates. Okay, we have 2nd Street all the way clear, past Main, so if you're listening, you can get to us through 2nd now and not have to take the winding, unlit path through the dark. I know, some of you like the dark, but you can find us now lit up down 2nd Street. And don't worry about the cars that were in the way before. We've had those moved, so there should be some clear path there for people to get down to our tents down at 2nd Street and the tents that lead all the way down to Shipyards Park. So, if everybody comes down...